9th, 20. Okay, it's April 9, 2026. We have a quorum, and I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting to order. Roll call. Fred Ariza is absent. Margo Garcia.
Here.
Hallie Hughes.
Here.
Doug Jennings.
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter.
Here.
Polly Parks.
Here.
And Chuck Ray.
Here.
Okay. Just moving on quickly to item two. I don't really have a report, but I forgot to tell you at the last meeting that one of our members, Susanna Shippers, resigned due to family problems. So, and she just wanted to thank everybody, and she said she learned a lot and she really enjoyed being on ESAC. So, anyhow, I thought I'd update you on that. All right, let's go ahead then and move on to jumping to item four for the Food Cycle Commercial Programs Awards. So,
Hi everyone, can you hear me?
hey, yes.
I wanted to share with you our Commercial Food Cycle Awards. City of Tucson worked closely with Compost Cats. We wanted to acknowledge our commercial businesses that have opted to participate in our commercial food cycling program. And the Compost Cats helped us to establish a report card. They audit each one of our commercial businesses on a monthly basis, and they provide feedback to the businesses related to contamination. They work closely with the businesses to help them alleviate some of the issues we've had so our food waste continues to stay clean. And the businesses have been very receptive. Again, it's a voluntary program. It reduces the trash that they're putting into the trash bins, but it's also sometimes challenging for them to work with the food waste program, but they continue to participate in the program. We audited or we reported the businesses based on three criteria, which included, if you want to go to the next slide. Based on the audits, based on communication, and also bin collection. So after each audit, the Compost Cats shares with the businesses any issues that they found within the audits. They communicate to the businesses as well as our staff. We'll send emails, contact the businesses if there's any concerns. And then we want to ensure that their containers are out for pickup. So those three areas were evaluated over a year's period of time. And during that year, we collected just for commercial food waste, it didn't include food waste at home, 615,000 pounds of food waste. Next slide. A Rubik card was a stat was developed by the Compost Cats, with some little oversight from our department, but they were rated from 1 to 5 based on the three areas of criteria that I mentioned, and then the heaviest weight went to bin contamination. That's really our largest concern. Bin pickups was also an area that we wanted to look at because it is time consuming and it impacts our operations when the bins aren't out there. And lastly, communication. And really, all the businesses have done a great job with this. There's some areas that we do have continued contamination. Most of the contamination are things like produce stickers. Sometimes there is plastic contain holders that go on different fruits and things like that. They may end up in the bins, but typically the bins remain pretty clean. As you see, bin pickups 3 to 4 is a 3. missed during the year. And there were certain businesses that had 100% pull out for their bins. Lastly, the last bin or last slide. And the winners of the Commercial Food Cycling Awards this year, a large business, which was over 2 cubic yards a week, was Reed Park Zoo, and the small business is Raging Sage. This Tuesday, the 21st, the mayor will be presenting these awards to these two businesses.
Okay, 21st. Okay, that's a regular mayor and council meeting.
Right, and they'll be presented at 5:30.
Okay.
But we really do want to acknowledge the Compost Cats as well, because they've been instrumental. You know, they've helped us with our food waste program, but they've been instrumental in working with the businesses, our commercial businesses. They're the ones who are out there auditing on a regular basis. They've done a fabulous job.
Yes, and they've been volunteering for a long time. Trevor, how many total years? Because they started down at Santa Vera.
The program started in 2011, I want to say.
Yeah.
And we started partnering with the city of Tucson, I think in 2013 or 2014, right around there.
Right.
So we've been partners for over a decade at this point.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Any questions?
No. But I always tell everybody I love my mulch.
Oh, the compost and mulch that we're producing at Los Reales has just been great.
Right.
We've had so many. Last year, I think I reported to date, we've done about 1,400 tons from since the program started in 24. Of distributing mulch and compost back to the community. And everyone has been reaching out to us lately. I don't know if I mentioned, and I can do a little presentation down the road, but we recently received a USDA grant for almost $400,000, working with TUSD. And so
Wow. That's great.
We are going to be develop or establishing food waste collection at a total of 12 schools to help them develop their own community gardens. So
Terrific.
I'll provide an update on that down the road, but
Okay.
that's where our focus has been. As the program grows, we hope to increase our commercial businesses. Right now, operationally, we're having to keep it within a particular area. We're focusing on the university area. And then, as we add certain larger businesses, we can add smaller commercial businesses within those areas. For example, TMC is one of our large food waste businesses. We have Raytheon now, that for a long time they've been wanting to partner with us. So as we add the federal prison is one of our large businesses. As we add those businesses, then we can add additional smaller businesses outside the U of A area.
Terrific. Excellent. And any questions?
Looks good.
Anyone? Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
We like good news.
Have a good day.
Yeah,
Bye.
thanks.
Thanks. I know.
Okay. Well, Carlos, sorry we had to skip you for a few minutes, but now that you're here, you're going to give us a report on the Los Reales gas collection system update and then the Environmental Services 2025 annual report.
Thank you. So just wanted to provide you an update regarding our meeting that Assistant City Manager Christina Swallow, Assistant City Attorney Shilpa Hunter Patel, and myself attended in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago. And this is really was in response, really an attempt really to sit down with the EPA and review the findings of violations letters that we got in the middle of February. So overall, they actually the EPA did a follow-up inspection. So the first initial inspection was done in April 2024. They did another follow-up inspection just on March 17th. And I believe we met with them April or March 28th, I believe, in San Francisco. So the overall the meeting went well within its reason. So it really was we had an opportunity really to provide the EPA with an update in terms of the work that we have done, the work in progress, and also really wanted to get a better understanding because the NOV the FOV that we received from the EPA has very similar language to the notice of violation that we received from Pima County. So both agencies are asking us really just to submit the documentation or achieve compliance at both ends. So there's a little bit of, I'm going to say overlap, but there's a little bit of coordination that we need to do. And in the meantime, we will be essentially just like we have been responding to PDEQ. We're going to be sending the same documentation to the EPA in terms of the work that we have done. So the next step for us related to the landfill gas is really we have done an assessment, and we're going to forward that documentation separately. Send you a bunch of documents. Nadia is going to send you those documents. It's really just to put you to sleep. No, it's really just a way really to provide you all the information. So what we've seen is what we want to share with you the information that we're seeing. And so there's multiple documents in there. So the first of all is the first document or one of the first documents would be the consent order that we executed with Pima Development Environmental Quality. Within that, it stipulates some of the improvements and some of the things we needed to do, and where we are so far. So one of the other documents included in there, it's really is an assessment of the landfill gas collection system, and in there it just basically stipulates really all the work that we need to do really to bring that system into some sense of fair compliance and really just make improvements to the system. So it articulates that some immediate improvements, medium improvements, and long-term improvements. And that's really going to really dictate, and that's what we're working on right now, is what is going to be the long-term capital investment plan that we need to implement to get the system into its needed state. So that's included in there. I also provided you a copy of the air quality permit that really just talks into a lot of detail. So in terms of what are the parameters, what does the permit say, and what of our obligations as part of the air quality permit. And then separately, really a copy of the findings of violations from the EPA as well. So just again, giving you all the background. The notice of violation from PDEQ, the consent order, the work plan that we have submitted to them, the findings of violation, the copy of the air quality permit, and we're in the process of really and really what some of the work that we have done so far in more of a detail analysis or more in more detail, how many wells have we installed, what some corrective actions we have taken. And all the stuff that we're doing now, really just to demonstrate compliance of both the PDEQ notice of violation and also the FOV from the EPA. So the overall status is next step for us would be in conversations with the EPA is I know the city is in the process of submitting a capital improvement program, a phase two program to PDEQ in by June. So they asked us really to share that documentation with them as well. They would like to have an opportunity to review that report prior to its being finalized, and we made the commitment that we will do that. From that point forward, they would like to comment on that and provide additional feedback as we identified what are those system improvements that may be necessary for that system. Their focus is really achieving compliance and really just trying to get us to really up to par to what they considered complying with the federal regulations for landfill gas systems. That's the intent and that's the plan. And that's why they would like to comment on that. There is still the revised or the new current air quality permit is in the process of being revised or being reissued. And there's still a little bit of coordination between the EPA and PDEQ in terms of what are some of those things that would need to be the reissuance of the permit, and what are some of those things that may change or may be modified in the new permit. So one of the things that essentially that may be included in the permit is if we have trees within the landfill cap, that we need to essentially monitor any leakages out of those trees, whether we remove those or we essentially they're consider that as a penetration. So we would need to essentially test around that, just like we have a typical well extraction well that we're monitoring around that. We need to monitor trees as well. The other one, we had a permit exception to not to do air emissions on the slopes because of the steepness of the slopes, and that's something that the EPA is really reconsidering to make sure that we monitor those slopes and make it part of the permit requirement. So their take is they would like to review that report that is due in June, really to possibly incorporate some additional requirements as part of the permit modification, and really be create a continue to work on a work plan to address those deficiencies. Ultimately said they're willing to work with us, but most likely they're may be in a position, or most likely they will be in a position to impose some fines or some citations. Their response was they don't know to what level. They're obviously going to consider how quickly and how responsive the city is going to be in terms of addressing the deficiencies, and obviously our financial situation as well. But that's something that they're not going to consider that. We're not going to talk about that until we have achieved compliance of all the things that they're wanting us to achieve. And so I think it's really very doable. I think it's really just a matter of really putting some investment in play so we can get back to a normal state. And that's something that will take us some time to do, not several years, but at least a year, really just to plan for those improvements, plan for those investments, execute those investments, and continue to demonstrate that we continue to comply with the permit requirements, not only the surface emissions, but the penetrations. And the continued essentially investments into the landfill. One of the things that they did noted to us is they feel that our system is very antiquated, that we need to essentially bring it to the 21st century. And what do they mean by that is they really would like for us to have remote monitoring of each well. And so that means that we would be installing like a Wi-Fi emitter. So they can track down really what the well is doing, all the parameters associated with the well, temperature, how much methane gas is generating, the concentration of CO2, concentration of oxygen, how much flow, and for it to be really managed to a centralized system that could be monitored and adjusted automatically within certain parameters, and really allow really for really the for them PDEQ really to monitor the system as the day goes by. They did inform us that they're really visiting a lot of other landfills, and what caught their attention for Pima County is that we're the only source that is identified on the carbon tracker, and that's what I showed you last time. And so that was really what would trigger a lot of stuff in terms of moving forward and really doing more of enforcement and monitoring action on the landfill itself. So I guess the overall theme of this is really just we got some work to do. We are moving forward and really complying with all those requirements. It's going to continue to be work in progress in parallel, at least for the beginning between the EPA and the and Pima County. And then at one point in time, we're hoping to close the consent order with PDEQ, and really be in a position really to put the closure of items that are different between the consent order PDEQ and the findings of violations of the EPA. And most of that has to do with wells that have been abandoned for a long, long time that we're in the process of seeing what when we shut them down, when we closed them. Keep in mind that we didn't begin to run that system. The system was put in place originally in the late 1990s, almost 2000s. We took over the system in 2019. So there's a lot of wells that were in inventory originally in the system that the EPA is saying, well, you shut them down. Well, the city didn't shut them down. Maybe the previous operator of the landfill gas, which is Tucson Energy Partners, took them out of commission. So we're going through our records to demonstrate that those wells were not active when we took over the system. But since then, we have really monitored the wells that are active. Biggest thing for them is they see a lot of wells that were originally in inventory and that those wells are not in operation. And that's what the main crux of the EPA's FOV violation. So in a nutshell, we got a lot of work to do, got a lot of research, a lot of work at play, a lot of work ahead of us. I'm confident that we'll overcome this in a matter of months to be able to get us into a good standing both with PDEQ and the EPA.
Well, any questions?
I've got a
Yep.
question. How many active methane collection wells are there?
There are around 63, 65, somewhere around there, between 60 to 70 active wells. And the overall inventory originally accounted for about 130 wells.
So about 50 of them are offline then?
Yes.
Wow.
And they've been offline for not like last year. They've been offline for several years.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
That's
is
pretty.
there a sense of what it will cost to bring the system up to what the EPA wants? Or I can't tell if it's the EPA or Pima County. Because that it sounds like they want you to basically replace your monitoring system.
That's correct. And so I don't have those figures right now, and that's we're in the process of we did the assessment, we identified with the deficiencies. Now it's really just doing additional modeling in terms of the collection system, really identifying where the gaps are at, and then really planning for those improvements. So that's part of the phase two or the plan that we need to submit to PDEQ and the EPA by June, by the middle of June. So I'm probably hoping the next month or so we'll have a better idea in terms of what that investment may look like. It's not only wells, it's really conveyor system and monitoring systems. So it's probably somewhere in the range of $2 to $3 million range. That's a ballpark figure, very high level ballpark figure so far. So far we've been able to install original four wells that were part of the consent order with PDEQ, and then we drill another five wells. So the cost of that, as I recall, was around $500,000 for all nine wells. So average is around, if I get my numbers correct, I get it mixed up, roughly about $75,000 per well.
Would that start flowing into people's environmental services charge?
So that's part of the fee. So that's part of the fee, and it covers those expenditures and within the environmental services fee. And there is another fee that is essentially attached to the environmental services fee, which is the Groundwater Protection Fund. And part of that fund can be used really to offset those investments.
So my question is, how did we get here? What happened? Where was it we were not looking forward
Notice of violation.
to put the system into remote monitoring and so forth, upgrading the system? Is it just, what happened? Did we just sort of lose focus on that or?
So what really took us in reality was that system was always really managed to a third party by Tucson Energy Partners. that really then transferred over back to us to start running the system. And at that point in time was really we didn't want to make major improvements to the system because we were going to try to turn the system into just a compliance system to an energy generating system. And so really transforming the landfill gas to energy. And that's where we were really seeking the help or really the interest of really a third party developer to come in and really do all that work. One thing is normal time versus city time in terms of really taking us really the time to move through the procurement, really one doing the feasibility, then second really doing the procurement. So that really took us a long time really to get things moving until and until we essentially now were to the point that said there's not enough gas really to essentially produce or come up with a feasible gas to energy project, but we still need to make some investments to the well field. So I think it's really just the fact that really I didn't want to make investments really on something that maybe a potential third party could come in and invest and really pay for itself as part of the landfill gas to energy project. So and we over time we essentially allowed really a third party to come in and operate the system. We probably could have been more watchful in terms of identifying all those things that needed to be done, but also at the same time we didn't want to put too much money into the system, knowing that potentially somebody may come in. I think part of it too was really over time we had folks leave the city. We didn't really bring folks on board in terms of really continuing to have like a real formalized compliance group, and that really we relied again on a third party entity to help us with that, and we failed to really to keep them on board and ensuring that they kept us in line. So that's essentially reality of things is lack of investment, thinking we were going to get into a landfill gas to energy gas a system, and really relying on third party, not really staffing our group well as it was in the past to make sure they had a better grip on the regulations themselves and following through on ensuring that those tests were being done and complying with those requirements. So we're essentially are going full circle in terms of what we had folks in there before 10 some years ago. Now over time we didn't staff it up. Now we're getting to the point we need to ramp up ourselves to make sure that we have the personnel and the adequate staff really to be able to keep up with that.
So, do I read between the lines from that that then we're giving up going to a gas to energy project and instead are just going to bottle it for our own use?
So, in terms of really inject it into the pipeline and sell it into the open market, I don't think that's going to be the most
Okay.
fee that we're not going to go that route. I
Right.
think it's really looking at how can we maybe collect some of the gas, generate on-site power for that, use some of that on-site, or be able to generate the use for that power. Potentially down the road with other sales coming on board, maybe the feasibility for us to install a cleanup system and a charging station for us to power up our fleet, CNG fleet, that's a possibility too as well. But that's more down the road as we make system improvements and as we generate more gas, that ability could come in the future.
So why has the amount of gas being generated sort of fallen down or because we're you're sort of bringing a sort of a consistent number of cells are coming online. I mean, you have a sort of a what should I say, a line of them that you're developing. So, you know, is there climate change impacting how the gas is being generated or I would think it'd be consistent, but where am I wrong in that?
So I think part of it has to be the age of really of the waste. Most, I would say, three
Oh,
quarters of our waste is
right.
over 20 years old. I think Over time, it has lost some moisture on that, so it's not really decomposing as fast. I think that the new wells or the new cells that have come on board, they're generating the most gas.
Sure.
And we just need to expand on that and make sure that we can recover that gas and be able to collect it and use that. But to some extent, I think it's if we look over the years, and this is really just purely my observation, and we're trying to get that clarified and get that identified, is a lot of the information that was given to us was really just some projections on the typical landfill models that used nationwide, in terms of the landfill mass, the age of the landfill, and how much landfill gas should it produce. And again, that's really more of a theoretical, more of an academia numbers, and that's what we were thinking, that we would generate a lot more gas than what we actually are pulling.
Hey,
So,
Carlos,
yes.
the source, I just want to make sure I'm got my thinking right. But the gas that's generated comes initially from biomass, right? Food waste, trees, leaves, that kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
There you
So
are,
so that
right? After 4, 5, 7 years, it peters out or so, or backs and peters out, right? Okay.
Yes.
Easy
Got it.
stuff goes away. But it also is impacted by water, temperature, and all
Sure,
these other things,
but
and that's
also if
not
we
changing.
collect food waste and don't put it in the landfill, I don't know how big of a deal that is. That can be less. I just want to make sure I understand. Thanks, Carlos.
So again, look at a model in terms of a typical landfill across the nation, where essentially the waste composition has a lot more green waste, has a lot more food waste, and that's and so over the years, Tucson has really transitioned from more having a greener yard, grass, and now more xeriscape. That waste has really changed, has shifted. Some of our food products have changed as well. It's more of a drier food, more of a processed packaged food that doesn't have as much moisture on that. Rain is also a factor on that. And so all that it really compounds in terms of how much potential gas can we generate. And that's what other landfills are ha in the Southwest have experienced the same situation. So I don't think it really just only applies to us. It
Sure.
really applies to other entities. And I think the other component of that is if and the analogy could be is I got a cup, and that cup has a sponge in it, and I fill it up with water, and I pull up the straw. I can only pull it up that liquid with straw. I can only pull so much, and it gets to the point that I'm going to dry up the liquids. I'm still going to have some moisture in there, but then that's not going to generate enough gas really to make it a very palatable system. Phoenix is experiencing that, and then also Glendale has experienced that. So we can suck up a lot of air, but then the fat and we said, yep, we got all this gas. All of a sudden, it dries up. So that's the difference that, in terms of, we could have gone out there and did the same thing, and we would have landed in the same situation. So what we're trying to do is really trying to find out the balance in terms of how much can we feasibly generate on a regular basis. Some areas, or the old landfill, we may not get as much, but in the new areas, we may be able to get, by the combination of that, what is a reasonable amount of cubic feet per second that we can rely on, and hopefully the gas quality would be enough really to make it a much better project than what we got right now.
Yeah, and also the waste is wet when you have a lot of rain because it's sitting out in the wet. And we don't have any rain. Our rainfall has really gone way down. So it's very dry to begin with. So, yeah, I know that in the past when they've tried to encourage the waste to decompose faster, they've injected both oxygen and water into it. And I don't know, I guess that's something we can do, but there's really, I guess, no need for it. Yeah,
So,
interesting.
Carlos, from the EPA, how much patience do they have? I mean, when you tell me that, it's going to be a couple months, we have a plan, I get it, and then maybe a year to execute on that plan. Is that
How's the EPA and the Pima County folks react to that kind of timeline?
So in terms of the PDEQ, I think the next step was really submit that report and really be in a position that to come up with some sort of a plan to execute those improvements. I can't tell you at this point in time to what extent those improvements are going to be, and really to what level of investment we're going to have to make. So I think it's probably going to be, I'm hoping that their patience is somewhere between a year to 18 months or a couple of years to give us an ability really to be able to do this. Hopefully we could do it much sooner than that, but I'm hoping that that will be their patience out there. And I think it's reasonable in terms of execution and planning and just going through the motions of permits and approvals. But again, time will tell. I think in the next by June we'll have an idea on the improvements. We'll have an idea in the sense in terms of the timeline that we're proposing and under the plan to see if the and obviously the EPA comment on that, what the level of patience is going to be or how fast they want us to get things moving.
If we were to get a person assigned full time to handle that, wouldn't that help EPA feel like we're really serious about it?
So I think yes, and I think the way we're trying to do is because it's about credibility and really just showing that we're gonna move things forward. So our plan would be is really let's get a consulting firm that can guide us through this and be really kind of on the front just to be able to make sure that it's not the city, it's really an external party really helping us through that and providing the EPA the information they need to move things along. But
And
ultimately, internally, we would have to assign a person here to monitor that work. Yes. So
yeah.
almost like a project manager, program manager really associated with this. Yes.
Okay.
And will
And
that le help lessen the fines? Or, I mean, Frank said that you're still going to get fined, right? It's
that's
not
what
going to go away.
I don't think it's going to be zero. And I'm hoping
Okay.
it's not going to be in the several million. So that's the hope. And I think our goal is really just to be very pinpointed and react accordingly and be very responsive and really just demonstrate not only to meet the regulations or the parameters, but going beyond that. And I think that's probably going to be a little bit more, it would help us more. And trying to achieve additional goodwill from on their part.
Okay.
Chuck, you had
Thank
another
you.
question?
Maybe it was covered. I kind of lost people there. Do you anticipate having to ask for more funds than are budgeted? Maybe that was what you were alluding to, or do we know?
So I think it's all dependent on really their patience. Really, it's all dependent in terms of really the level of amount of the improvements. And I think the other thing is how much do we want to draw down our funds to be able to do that? I think we have, I'm hoping, I think we have the capabilities, financial capabilities to really to be able to do that, given our fund balance for those type of mitigations is good. I'm hoping that we don't get too rogue on really adding a lot of bells and whistles to a system that may not be necessary or is required to be able to meet the environmental compliance system. So it's really getting a vehicle, but it doesn't have to be a Ferrari really to get us to where we need to be at.
Yeah.
But it has to be a four-wheel drive. In other words,
Yes.
we have to deliver.
Yep.
Right.
Yes.
I was going to say compliance isn't optional, right? I mean, we have to get there. Just a matter of details, right?
And don't get me wrong, we're on the testing that we're doing, on all the monitoring we're doing, there are no exceedances. So we're in our minds, we're in compliance. We
I got it.
also get notes from Pima County saying you're in compliance. So what we're dealing with is a one-time event where we had exceedances, and now we just want to demonstrate that we have a system that can keep up and be able to perform throughout. So there's a little bit of credibility that we need to build and that we need to demonstrate. But if when they came out here last week, they poke holes, they monitor the site, they monitor exceedance, and there was nothing, there was no findings of any exceedances. So when they came out and said, hey, these are the deficiencies, we have corrected those deficiencies, we have submitted all the documentation to say we're in compliance. They had a follow-up inspection, we're in compliance. All the quarterly reports that we have submitted to PDAQ are in compliance. So, but it's really just trying to convince them that one time that we exceeded the speed limit in one occasion. Most of the time we're driving a normal speed, but it's now we're in front of the judge saying, are you really truly doing this stuff the way you should be doing that? And that's what I think that this is what we need to build the credibility and providing the information that yes, we're doing everything in accordance to our permit.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Any other questions for Carlos? Hey, thank you. That's
Thank you.
and then the next
I know Nadia signed off. I'm probably going to have to sign off either. Says, well, we're going to that open house for the rates at Donna Leggett. So there's a meeting at 5:30. So
okay.
we're heading that way. So I'm sure Brittany or it or we have an automated recording, so we can just continue with that with the meeting. I don't think there's any other thing that we need to cover on our end. But
Annual, the annual reporter.
oh, the annual report. So, I don't know if one second.
Carlos, is that the video that we showed yesterday?
Yes.
Would you like me to show that, to present that?
I think Brittany's on board. I don't know if she's
Okay.
got it in there. So the only thing I just wanted to on that report, just want to share that video with you. It really just it instead of really printing a report, we thought it would be better really just to show it more graphically. I think some of you have seen that, but we just wanted to really share that video with you and hopefully you would enjoy the video and the metrics and how we went about it. So that was I just wanted to really formally present it to you. It's Christina already sent the link. It's already available to the public, but I want to make sure that you were you also had an opportunity to see it from our end.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
There we go.
I don't think I can't hear Brittany and anybody else.
Nope.
I can't either.
Think she's working on that. Still muted, Brittany.
No.
She's not muted, but
Can you
there.
hear me?
Oh, there we go.
So much for testing a new headset. I can share it. Do you guys want me to play it 7 minutes? If not, I can send it in the link.
Send it in the link.
Okay. Yeah. No problem. All right, then I think we're moving on to the financial report.
Well, good evening, everybody. Let me
Thank you.
share my
Nick.
screen.
Thanks.
All our number stuff out.
Okay, I think I'm sharing the correct screen. Everyone's seeing numbers.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thanks for making your numbers bigger too.
Did they get bigger this time from last time, or
Yeah.
fair enough? I'll try to keep them as big.
Okay.
Yeah, that there was a little bit of a formatting change. I know the color scheme changed as well
We're good.
slightly, but I will continue to make them bigger. I think what happened was I probably changed the font, but I'll keep it to this so that it can be more legible. We'll go ahead and start with the expenditures by area. If I'm not mistaken, last month's report, we kind of talked about some of the things like Tucson Clean and Beautiful.
that hadn't reflected as of yet, but now it's reflecting. We did speak about the postage being the other part of this particular number. Actually, let me go in order. Administration expenditures are the central cost allocation, as well as what we environmental services pay towards Navaline, the billing system for our customers. So those are pretty consistent numbers and will fall really close to in line with our budget, which means I have to update the forecast, and I will be doing that. The updated projections for the departments are due to central budgeting by the end of next week. So I'll be working on that. And then next month's report will have quarter three projections, which hopefully will be in alignment with close to where we land at the end of the fiscal year. Customer support and billing, that's where our CSRs are billed to. I'm going into a little bit more detail because I don't have much more to say on any of the changes than what I've said in the past. But one of the things that I think we did talk about were the increased capital outlay purchases. That's the purchases of the equipment, the vehicles and equipment, whether that be for a residential commercial pickup or the equipment over at Los Reales, which is different than the CIP, the capital improvement projects, which are also going on. And Carlos mentioned some of those. Let me actually touch on that. That those will be reflected here in capital improvement projects. But I have been working with Frank to make sure that we can move certain POs along so that they can then do the work that they need to do for the gas extraction system and such. Those will be reflected here. But other than that, the other vehicles will be reflected in their respective areas. Like trucks would go to brush and bulky. The larger vehicles, front loaders would go to commercial collection, and then the side loaders to residential collections. You see that we have exceeded our revised budget, and that is with the knowledge that we will have less in expenditures for capital improvement projects. The biggest ones again being the work over at the Bifusion, Los Reales, over at the Los Reales Sustainability Campus, and then the next biggest one that again is a friend of mine is the gas extraction system and its expenditures. So those are the two main projects that are affecting our actuals, and that will continue. Well, Bifusion is close to finish, but the gas extraction system will continue to post against the capital improvement projects. And then knowing that we will not hit the $9.2 million mark, we basically got the green light from Central to move forward with some of these capital expenditures. Again, the vehicles and large equipment over at Los Reales. I don't know if anyone has questions on these.
Yes,
Yes, Polly.
just a second. I gotta unmute myself. Oh, I'm
You're
unmuted.
unmuted,
garbage collection truck. Do you have a update on that?
yes.
Oh.
You mean regarding the letter that was sent?
Yeah.
I do not have an update on that. I don't know. I think everyone who may or could speak to that
Is gone.
is gone.
Okay.
So I can move to the next sheet and tell you where, if they were in agreement, it would be reflected, but that's the only piece I could speak to. I haven't been involved in any of the conversations with the city attorney's office or anything like that regarding that outreach, if you will.
So where would it be reflected?
It would end up reflected in recovered expenditures or rebates,
Okay.
which we have already exceeded. So there are certain revenue categories where the city historically has not either not budgeted or budgeted very conservatively. Even if we know that we have a lot of new vehicles being placed into service, and that we will be disposing of the vehicles that they are replacing, we in general budget very either at zero or very conservatively when it comes to and you see that reflected here, right? But gain on sale of property assets, right? Or recovered expenditures and rebates. So that's where those dollars end up posting to, and they end that it ends up helping us, right? Where we plan to spend, not necessarily balanced, although for this, where we're next fiscal year, I'll talk to that in just a moment, but where we're managing our fund balance, and making sure that we, as Carlos has said in the past, turn the dials for these capital projects and capital outlay. We'll time our projects and or our orders for vehicles and equipment such that we don't exceed our revenues, or if we do, it's a planned use of fund balance. And so that's where we find ourselves. And we build our budget, again, not counting on those dollars that we'll get for the sale of vehicles at auction. And then when we do get those, they help us out. And again, we're not certain of what we'll get from auction. We could do trend analysis and such to kind of figure what that might be. But again, the city has historically budgeted either at zero or very conservative in those areas.
Thank you.
Let's see. What else do I have today? The other thing too, that I wanted to mention is that we have kept a close eye on the fuel expenses,
Right. Okay.
and the city set itself up or is in a good place because of how we the decisions we've made in the past, notably that our fleet for collection is CNG, and then also that our vehicles that we've made a move to either hybrid or electric vehicles for our other trucks. And so I actually what I have here, this is not big, but let me make it bigger for you. What I have here is the expenditures for fuel by the different sections by month. And what you'll note is that even though we at the pump, if we don't have an electric vehicle or a hybrid vehicle, or even if we have a hybrid vehicle, have been seeing increases, that's not necessarily true for environmental services. Again, because of how the city has made strategic decisions in the past, where we're not relying on unleaded or diesel or other less clean fuels, if you will. And so
Where
because of
is it
that,
showing?
am I not showing it? Sorry, I'm probably showing a window, not my or rather, yeah, the window, not my screen. Let me see if I can switch. Yes, I'm sharing my screen and not my window, or the other way around. But these are those numbers, and then I separated it out by billing for natural gas and gas and diesel. Again, what we see here is pretty consistent spend across each period, right? It doesn't really fluctuate too much. It fluctuates for different reasons. For example, there's this $93,000 up here, but that's because certain expenditures to the tune of like $25,000 should have posted in July. Likely what happened was because we were busy with end of year or a delay in invoice and us receiving those invoices, they were paid after July closed, and so they posted to August, the next open period, and you see much lesser expenditures in period one, and then much higher expenditures posting to period two, but that's just a function of timing, and nothing else.
That's interesting. Like, that's good. Any other questions for Isaac?
So, I mean, the
Go ahead.
costs have just started going up, so we really aren't going to see them quite yet. Probably in the next 2 months, it will show the increases. But since so much of it is in natural gas, that's going to hold hopefully pretty much the same.
That's true. Yeah, where we, I mean, I can, I don't know to what degree I can go into detail, but in other, we have already seen those increases in other places where the fleet fuel
Okay.
type is different. And so I guess what I'm saying is if we were comparing to those other sections of the city, we have already observed that, where we're not observing it here because of the higher stability that there is in the CNG market than there is
Okay.
in other fuel types right now.
Yes, I mean, even in Los Reales, billing for gas and diesel, fourth row down, I guess. I mean, we can see it go up to 3,000, and before that, it's 28.
And they,
That one, yeah. But
So
that,
when you see a lower month like that,
yeah, just it means that you didn't get all the pieces in.
exactly. I would first look to see if it's a timing issue, especially if one month is heavy and the prior month wasn't,
So you
because
want a
that could,
trend more than a dot a one. Okay.
right. Yeah. On average, it's 2,500, and this was February was well below, and March is.
Oh
If you split the
yeah.
difference, they're still both kind of on average,
Okay.
right?
So we haven't seen it yet if it's in these numbers, if it's anything's coming. Well, that's good to know because in the years past, it did make a big impact on the budget when we were still running mostly on diesel. And so I'm glad to see we don't have to put in any kind of special, a temporary tax on it, something to handle the fuel costs change. So we should be able to crow about it to everyone else that switching to the. Do you know where the compressed natural gas is coming from? Is it local? I mean, is it coming out of Texas or is it coming out of other
Oh,
country?
that I'm not sure. I couldn't speak to
Okay.
that, but I can ask and we can get you an answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll ask our energy department to see if they have a good response to that. And then the other thing I wanted to mention quickly to you is where environmental services is, as well as the city just in general, with the budget process. The budget won't be adopted formally until June, but right now we're at a stage where we, the department, have submitted what we hope will be the recommended budget to the central budget office and ultimately to the city manager's office, that then gets recommended to mayor and council. And the note on that is that we have submitted the budget in alignment with what the cost of service report indicated, barring some adjustments like the clean city fee being adjusted from $3.43 down to $3, and then the difference in revenue and expenditures that we would expect from that, which is around $850,000 approximately. So that is how the budget has been presented for recommendation for environmental services. But more on this as the budget continues to move through the adoption process. And that's all I have today. I don't know what other questions we have.
No. Thank you, Isaac. I don't think we're good.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Let me stop sharing.
Right. Well,
Thank you.
subcommittee reports, Trevor. You're up for our waste diversion collections and education meeting.
Okie dokie. We had a quick update from Pat on the situation with the EV trash truck, and the city of Tucson is looking at sending a letter to Battle Motors that basically demands they pay us back, or potentially give us the equivalent of what we should have received, since the EV truck has been such a problem. In addition to that, looking at the potential expansion of brush and bulky by appointment, rather than trying to expand beyond the two areas of the city that are currently receiving that service. The Environmental Services is looking at sort of making sure that we have everything in place to try to move forward with that expansion. So they're going to continue to gather information and revisit potential expansion in January or February of next year for a potential effective expansion of by appointment in January of 2028 at the earliest. We went through the MRF report as usual. Not too much of note, other than with the increase in oil prices we're seeing, we're pretty much expecting the next month's MRF report to show an increase in the price for recycled plastics. On public outreach updates, Christina let us know that the zero waste collection event that they had last month had 495 cars, which was a little bit less than last fall, but more than last spring. They had 422 last spring, but 505 in the fall. And overall, it was really successful. Everyone who, all of the vendors that showed up to take that waste had quite a bit of material. As we heard earlier in this meeting, there are ongoing public meetings for the rate and fee changes for Environmental Services. And then a winner has been selected for the truck poster contest. And there will be a sort of more formal reveal in the next week or two. And I think Brittany's going to put the winner up on the screen. There's our
Yeah.
winner.
A good one.
And I did not write down, I think this student was in sixth grade or third grade.
Six, yeah.
Great. And that reveal will be at the Academy of Tucson Middle School. I don't have a date.
May 1st.
May 1st. Great. And then Christina also shared the annual report video, which Brittany put a link in the chat if folks have not seen it yet. Frank also gave us quite a lengthy update on what we heard from Carlos earlier this meeting. So a pretty lengthy update on the compliance issues with landfill gas out at the landfill, the flare system, and all of that. Overall, Frank's feeling on the direction that we're headed was very positive. There are still a lot of things that we have to do, but overall, we are headed in the right direction to achieve compliance slash are in compliance now. On collections, Jose gave us updates on where equipment is at. We have some side loaders and other things that are being received or will be received by the end of the fiscal year. And then they're also waiting on some quotes for some new equipment as well. And then in recruitment, they closed recruitment for environmental services operators last week. There were 23 folks who met requirements, and they were working on setting up interviews for this week. And they're trying to fill four vacancies there. They also opened up the applications for environmental services workers last week, and that actually closes today. And they're trying to fill six vacancies there. Jose also let us know that they are no longer doing sort of the partnership with Pima to train workers to become operators. But we do now have the capacity in-house to fulfill the requirements from a state perspective to do that training and to elevate workers to that role as we get folks. So, and those were all of my notes for the last meeting. If anyone has anything to add, feel free to.
I just dropped in the Clean City fact sheet that we're giving out at the town halls. And I'll drop in the poster board that's being presented at the town halls. Just so you can see what's being presented. In addition, we were in week two of Master Recyclers session. We also have created those classes. And posted them on a online version. So if attendees miss a class or a session, we have that online available. So what's being presented for the Master Recyclers is now in web version on our YouTube page. And interviews were today for the drivers. So I saw them in and out all day long.
That's good news.
Yes, hopefully there's some candidates that get hired in the process.
Right. Finally moving along after a long dry spell, for sure. Okay. Any questions for Trevor? Nope. Okay. Let's move to future agenda items. I just wanted to quickly bring up Nadia told me, Chuck, that you were interested in the environmental engineering subcommittee, and we actually haven't had that for what, 2 years? Yeah,
Yeah.
and we just haven't had people interested in joining that, and we might need to talk about that a little more and see if we could get that going again. What do you think, Brittany? I know Frank essentially took care of that, but right now Frank has probably a million things to do.
Yeah, it would be in between Frank and Carlos that would host that meeting, and it probably will be maybe within the next, I would say in the next 6 months, once some of these projects get started, then there would be conversations to have on the environmental engineering.
Okay,
So
so
since right now is kind of it's in a state of limbo until these projects get kick started at the landfill or the remediation or so once those things are in motion, when we don't have CIP projects going on, it's very hard to have those the E&E meetings. But I foresee that we're going to have some future projects.
okay, and keep that in mind if others want to join in with that.
Yeah, it's Fred. So Chuck. So.
What would be involved with that?
It's just an additional meeting, and in the past they met biannually, so twice a year, when we actually had active CIP projects.
So does it require engineering background to do that?
No.
Okay, I'd be interested.
Yeah, just you would just report back on towards the full ESAC, just like Trevor does for with the waste diversion report, and you just go a little more detail in what projects are going being conducted.
And sometimes field trips, right?
Right. The
Yeah.
last E&E meeting was in person at the landfill
At the landfill, so.
in that conference room.
But Chris, it also seems to me that we're getting a lot of that through Los Reales landfill. So the reports that we get on waste diversions. So
Right. I was going
but
to
it
mention
seems to
that.
me some of that could be switched over. Not that I want to not hear about it, but
Right. Frank
So.
d could just do a general report at waste diversion. In the past, Frank didn't attend waste, so really
Right.
didn't a attend. But
Yes.
since we kind of, I don't want to say dissolved E&E,
Collapsed. Collapsed it together. Because there was only one person.
And he did come and present at Foley Sac.
Yeah. But
So.
it's a lot of the things that you heard today from Carlos, those details about the landfill and the what's how it's being managed, and what are the challenges that are coming up. And it's not only the Los Reales, but they're all the closed landfills as well. So there's a lot out there.
So we'll keep that in mind,
No, that's
Chuck.
fine. Yeah, I mean, whenever it makes sense to have a meeting, I'd love to participate.
Yeah. It's probably after
After June, it sounds like.
Carlos.
Sounds like there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to
There's a
happen
lot
before June.
going on.
Yeah.
The budget.
Yeah, well, plus he needs to put the plan together, right? So,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's all
Yeah.
a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anyone have something for a future agenda?
I'd like to see us continue to keep track of what's happening with the fuel costs, as we move through. And of course, unless everything changes within the next week or something, but
Tomorrow.
Oh, I don't think
tomorrow.
so.
I
Yeah.
don't think so, because they're saying that even if it stopped today, the war stopped in the Middle East, it's going to take months for
Oh,
everything
yeah.
to get going again and to
I was
repair all that
joking.
stuff.
I was
Well,
just joking.
it is a joke. I mean, some of us lived through some of this before when it did have a
Right.
very major impact on the budget. And now I think with the compressed natural gas, but even that, as we know, some of the places where it was being put together, prepared for transport have been impacted. So I don't know exactly what the system is where we're getting our gas from. So if it's just
Well,
Texas or.
my younger brother, who lives on the backside of Yosemite, the Eastern Sierras, gas is $7 a gallon on 395. So
I
don't
can
drive
believe
that
it.
for a long time
Chris, do
in
we want to
California.
move on to call to the public or any other if
Oh,
there's
do we have someone? Oh, I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
Val is here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. So item 8, call to audience and Val.
If she would like to speak, it.
I don't need to speak. I'm just here gathering information, hoping that maybe at some point I might get to join you guys, but I have no comments. I don't want to blow you guys down after 5 o'clock. Thanks, you guys.
All right, thanks. Well, okay. Well, if there's any more questions, we're down to the looking at the minutes again. So it's 5:17 and I move to adjourn. It
Do
could have
you
been
need a second?
longer. It
Just declare an adjournment, yes. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you
Thank
next time.
you.
Yeah,
Yep.
thank
Bye,
you.
everyone. Have a good
Bye.
night.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.